So we are at Easter 6. We're coming to the end of this seasonal lectionary cycle, and we're coming to the end of the stories about Jesus' resurrection appearances. We're not going to see him in the same way again. So there is no more breakfast on the beach. There is no more breaking bread at Emmaus at the dinner table. There's no more appearing behind locked doors. This week we mark the ascension, when we are told that Jesus returns to God and will not be seen again. In today's gospel, he tells the disciples, when that happens, you will not be left as orphans. He will be with them, but in a new way, because the advocate, the promised one, the Spirit, will come at Pentecost among all tribes and languages and peoples. And Jesus' death, life, death, and resurrection will find a new body. He will live and move and have his being in them and in us. We now become his body in the world. And if anyone wants to see Jesus, they will know him in the witness of his followers. Now, this is a significant change. This is radical. The divine embodied in Jesus is now the divine embodied in us. Jesus is no longer appearing beyond us, but in and through us. We will show him as still being present in the world. This is how Easter continues, because he lives in us. So we have an example of one of his followers. Paul, as you remember, had his own encounter with Jesus, knocked off his horse on the way to Damascus. Jesus claimed him. And Paul began his many trips to spread the word about the one who now lived in him. And we know that he wasn't like a quick travel visit. He embedded himself in many communities. He lived among them, went to the synagogue, would talk about Jesus in light of the Torah and the prophets. He lived among people. And then he spoke his truth. So in the section that we have from Acts today, we know that he was among people who worshiped differently. He commented on what he had seen when he went to Athens. Lots of spirituality, lots of different forms. And he highlighted a shrine to the unknown God. He was speaking to those beyond his own faith tradition. So we're just getting a beginning glimpse of what it means for the gospel, the good news of our Savior, to move into Gentile territory. And he became known as an ambassador of faith to a variety of communities. And he tells the Athenians that their faith is not to be about shrines, but in a God who calls them all offspring, children, because Paul had become one of them. He'd had this experience of the resurrected Christ. And a little later in Acts, you'll hear that some people wanted to know more and had him stay, but very often Paul's proclamation was not received well, and his witness angered some, and he was occasionally not just asked, but pushed to leave. But he was bringing a word that he felt needed to be heard, and he was willing to stretch himself beyond his own known environment as a Pharisee, as a teacher of Judaism. And so he entered a space where he became an ambassador to the Gentiles, among, with, and for them. New places and new words. Another early letter in the New Testament says this: always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands an accounting for the hope that is in you. Always be ready to make your defense to account for the hope that is in you. Doing it with gentleness and reverence. I'm thinking about what that means to tell your truth with gentleness and reverence among different communities. 15 to 24 of them left Fort Worth, Texas at the end of October, and they walked through 10 states, a total of 2,300 miles. These were the Buddhist monks who carried their truth, their peace, their witness from one place to another. And many of us saw them as they arrived at our National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. That was in February. In their saffron robes and sneakers, they had walked 20 miles a day. Occasionally, they even walked barefooted so that they could touch the ground. Aloka, their rescue dog, walked with them. In Sanskrit, his name means light. So the weather was challenging from late October to February, and there was an accident which necessitated the amputation of the leg of one of the monks. But it didn't stop them. And they were housed and fed along the way, and their traditions of mindfulness, global harmony, and nonviolence spoke to many about the way they honored the divine within them. Their chief monk said that the peace march was an opportunity to bless, to love, to teach, to find deep joy even in the present moment. Their tradition, as you may know, is rooted in the 45-year walking ministry of the Buddha. They embodied their teaching without argument, without blame, without agenda. They simply walked with peace in every step. They were mostly silent. I think they handed out some peace bracelets and people gave them flowers, but they were mostly silent, as were those who watched them. Even in a stadium, they were met with respectful silence. Those who were spiritually hungry showed up on the road to catch sight of a blessing. This is what they told us: unlock the box where you have kept peace and happiness inside, and locked it and left it somewhere. Find it, unlock it, because only you can do this. In the tradition of Paul and many others, Jesus, I believe, has tasked us, his followers, with unlocking the box of love that he has placed within us. Maybe you're thinking that 2,300 miles is a long way to go for a witness. And it is. Maybe you simply need to walk in your neighborhood with peace in every step, with God's love in your heart, with your own rescue dog. Maybe you only need to bring your peaceful presence and your prayers alongside somebody in any need or trouble. Maybe it's time for you to find the key to unlock the box of love that lives within you. How Jesus Easters in you will be your own witness. And it doesn't need to be big. Excuse me. If you live in Canada for 17 years, as I did, it's all hockey all the time. All year long. It's hockey, hockey, hockey. But this little story happened at a hockey rink in Buffalo, New York. Now, that rink is one of the few places where before every game they sing two national anthems. They sing O Canada, and then they sing the U.S. anthem. Even if a Canadian team is not playing, they sing. So the soloist, not so long ago, a few weeks ago, began to sing O Canada and got through the end of the first verse, and then the microphone died. And the whole arena sang the rest of O Canada. And as the cameras caught it, there were all these people with their Buffalo sweatshirts on, singing, singing. It was kind. It was loving. They simply and wholeheartedly sang for those who couldn't. And they joined as one community in a small act of generosity of heart. It was a witness that landed well on both sides of the border. Little thing, a little love rising. A little Eastering, perhaps. Go and be Christ's witness.